This week's parsha is Akev. Akev means
heel.
Who are you calling a heel? Rashi said, if you will observe the mitzvah that a person steps on with his heel, Hashem will be kind to you.
Last week's parsha.
Okay, yesterday. Which mitzvah does a person step with his heel? What does that mean? Walking on Eretz Yisrael. People think it's a small mitzvah. Rashi says something amazing. Rashi says, "Ima mitzvot hakalot she'odam dosh bi'akevav." A light mitzvah which person steps with his heel. He thinks that walking in Eretz Yisrael is not considered an important mitzvah. That's a mistake. A mitzvah that people think is a light mitzvah, like walking in Eretz Yisrael, is also an important mitzvah. So don't take for granted the schus that we have. We have the schus to walk in Eretz Yisrael. The Talmud says in Tubot, and the Rambam codifies it, any person that walks Dalet Amos in Eretz Yisrael is guaranteed a place in Olam Haba. It is healthy. Every time you walk in Israel, macha mitzvah. Wow, look how much God loves us. Don't take it for granted. Even walking in Israel is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that people take for granted, but we should not. The word Akev is also Rosh Tevot. Akev means because. Akev means a heel. Who are you calling a heel? But the word Akev, Ayin Kaf Bet, is also Rosh Tevot. We know that a positive mitzvah, you should do standing up. But if you do it sitting down, it's okay. Putting on tefillin, shaking a lulav, blowing a shofar,
sitting down,
blessing the Sfirat HaOmer, right? Any mitzvah that you do, a positive mitzvah, can be done even sitting down. Give me an example. Positive mitzvah. Positive leishev asuka, you sit.
Kiddush Levana.
If you sit, it's okay. We do it standing. Any positive mitzvah, you should do it standing. You can also do it sitting. Either way is fine. There are three exceptions. And the three exceptions are Rosh Tevot Akev. Ayin stands for Avodah. Ayin stands for Avodah. If the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash does the Avodah sitting down, it's pasul. Let's say he's a week old Kohen, and he can't stand when he does the sacrificial service. He sits.
He has to get help to help him stand up.
No, he has to be able to stand by himself. The Avodah must be done. If he's not able to stand by himself, if he does the Avodah, it's pasul. Kuf stands for Kriya. Loyalenu, if a person loses one of his seven relatives, he has to tear his clothes. If he tore his clothes sitting down, Ramosha, it's not good. People don't know that. Kriya loyalenu, it's a mitzvah to tear kriya on a relative who dies. It must be done standing. If a person does kriya sitting, it doesn't count. He has to take a new jacket or a new shirt and tear it again. That's kuf.
Yeah, but most people don't know that.
It's a good thing that, so today, you have to come. We have to get it out on the internet. Uh-huh. Thanks for Yaakov Goldman. It'll be out on the internet.
Uh-huh.
People don't know that. Loyalenu, everyone, you know, when it comes a time when kriya must be done standing. If you do it sitting, it doesn't count.
Uh-huh.
You have to do it again. A new shirt, a new jacket to be torn.
Did somebody do it for him, or he's got to do it himself?
He's got to do it himself. Yeah. He's got to do the kriya himself.
But you have to do it.
What? You have to do it yourself. Right. Well, the Chevy Kaddisha show, well, they make the cut, but you have to do the tearing.
Right,
the cut doesn't count. You have to, well, Yelenu, the person has to tear himself. Otherwise, it doesn't count. And that's Kof Kriya. And Bet stands for Birchat Kohanim. If a Kohen does Birchat Kohanim sitting down, it doesn't count. If you shake a lulav of an esik when you sit, it's okay. If you blow shofar when you sit, it's okay. But these three mitzvahs have to be done standing up. Ayin stands for the avodah. Kuf stands for Kriya, Bet stands for Bricha Kohanim. These three mitzvahs, if the person is sitting down, it doesn't count at all. He has to do it again. Okay, this afternoon's topic, we're speaking about how reciting Shema recreates that magic moment of Sinai. How does saying the Shema recreate the magic moment of Sinai? Let's take a look. It says, last week's parsha that we read last Shabbos, we read the Aseret HaDibrot, the Sinai revelation, and right after that it said Shema Yisrael. Right after Moshe Rabbeinu describes the Sinai revelation, he says Shema Yisrael. What's the connection? When you have two parshas in the Torah, Moshe, next to each other, there has to be what? A kesher. The reason in Parshas Vetchanan, 2 weeks ago, the Torah wrote Parsha of Shema next door to the Parsha of the Sinai Revelation to teach that when a Jewish person does Shema Yisrael, he is reconstructing, recreating that magic moment of Sinai. And I'll show you how. Okay. By the Sinai revelation in Deuteronomy 6, which is written next to the Parsha of Shema, the Torah keeps reporting the word Kishema'achem et hakol, Shomanu, Shema, Vishomanu, Shomati. Over and over again during the Sinai revelation, the Torah keeps using the word Shema'achem, Shema, Shomanu, Vayishma Shamati. What's the key word over and over again? Shema. Shema. And right after that it says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So the Torah is hinting by putting the Parsha of Shema next to the Parsha of Kabbalah Satorah, and the Kabbalah Satorah Moshe writing the word Shema in different forms over and over again, that somehow when we say Shema, we are recreating the Sinai revelation. Let's think how. The Torah says by the Sinai revelation, Kishema'achem et hakol mitoch hachoshech. You heard God's voice mitoch hachoshech. What does that mean? From the midst of darkness. Why do you close your eyes when you say Shema? Alfie, when you close your eyes, what do you see? Choshech. You close your eyes, you are experiencing that choshech of Sinai. Kishema'achem, Shema, Shemanu, Shemati, mitoch hachoshech. God keeps saying, you heard, you heard, you heard the voice of Hashem, mitoch hachoshech. So when we say Shema, the reason we close our eyes, Moshe, we want to recapture that experience. You close your eyes, you're imagining that choshech at Har Sinai. There was darkness, and we heard Hashem's voice. You listening? And it says you heard Hashem's voice from the choshech, v'lo yasaf. V'lo yasaf says unkelis, v'lo psak. God's voice never ceased. Says Rashi, below psak, it never stopped. Ki kolo chazak v'kayam la'olam. God's voice is all powerful v'kayam la'olam and goes on forever. So what does that mean? So every time, that's why reading the Shema, Alf, is called Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim. When you read the Shema, it's called accepting God's kingship on you. Because you are recreating, Moshe, you're recapturing the magic moment of Sinai. Mitoch HaChoshech, there was darkness, you didn't see anything, you just heard. So when you close your eyes and you read the Shema, you are recreating for yourself virtual Har Sinai revelation. You're going back to the future. And the voice that you hear, Shema Yisrael, listen, Jew. Whose voice? It's God's voice speaking through your mouth. Shechina medaberet b'toy groino shel Moshe. I'm telling you a big chiddush, Aryeh, that when we say the Shema with the right kavanah, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice speaking through our throat. As Rashi says, by the Sinai experience, v'lo yasaf, Rashi quotes Unkelus, v'lo psak, God didn't stop speaking. Kolo chazak v'kayam la'olam. God's all-powerful voice continues to speak. When we say the Shema and closing our eyes, we are imagining that choshech, that magic moment of Sinai. Focusing on listening, getting back to that Sinai experience, the magic moments of Sinai. And therefore it's called Kabbalat O Malchus Shamayim. And that's why it's the most important sentence in the Jewish religion. Shema Yisrael, listen Jew, Hashem Yudkei Vavkei is Midas HaRachamim. Elokeinu is Midat HaDin. Hashem Echad. From our perspective, God appears sometimes as Yudkei Vavkei Rachamim, and sometimes Nebech HaZdin. Elokeinu means punishment. From our perspective, it looks like it's two separate aspects. Hashem Echad. From his perspective, it's all one. Whether it's Rachamim or Din, it's Hashem Echad. That's the most important statement in the Jewish religion. Whatever happens to a person, it's all good, even though we can't see it. Therefore, how does a person express joy, great joy? Tears. How does a person express great sadness? Tears. Why? Why do we express joy and sadness in the identical way? Joy is Yudkei Vavkei. Joy to the world. That's Yudkei Vavkei. That's joy. Elokeinu is sorrow, punishment, suffering. Hashem Echad. It's all one. Tears of joy and tears of sadness. Why do we express both opposite emotions the same way, Moshe? To teach that whether it's sore, joy or sorrow, it's all the same source. It's Hashem Echad. This is Judaism in a nutshell. Shema Yisrael, listen Jew, Hashem. Hashem is joy. Elokeinu is din, is sorrow. Hashem Echad. From God's perspective, it's all one and the same. Hakol Letova. Remember that bumper sticker? Ten Chiyuch Hakol Letova, Moshe. Remember those bumper stickers? Ten Chiyuch Hakol Letova. What does that mean? Aryeh, ten Chiyuch. Give a smile, Hakol Letova. Even though we can't see it sometimes. But to help us believe it, God gives us the exact same expression for joy and sorrow, tears. If you put the tears of joy and the tears of sorrow under a microscope, it's the same tear. It's amazing. God is usually so generous in giving us expression of feelings. Over here, he's like, what's the word? Parsimonious. What's the word? $10 word. Huh? God could have figured out another way to express joy and sorrow. But it's identical to prove that it all comes from the same source. As God tells Isaiah chapter 45, Yotze or bore ra, Ose Sholon, God says, Ani Hashem Ose Koele. That's Judaism in a nutshell. Whatever happens to a person, it all comes from a God, and somehow Takol Letova, even though we cannot understand it, well, we believe it. That's the magic moment of Sinai recaptured by closing our eyes and focusing on the Shema, on the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the second paragraph of Shema, you mind just taking one and passing it down? Just taking one and passing it down. It's one paper. One paper with two sides. Bavakasha. Just one to a customer, please. Okay. One to a customer. Please pass it down. This is from yesterday's Torah reading. Okay? This is the second paragraph of Shema in yesterday's Torah reading. You have one, Rabbi Yaakov? Look at the top line. It says page number one. It's one paper with two sides. We're going to side number one. Does it say side number one, Moshe? It says side number one. Look at the top line. Look at the top line on side number one. It says, B'sotcha livhemtecha. First, you should feed your animals. And what's the next word, Alfie? Top line. V'achalta, then you shall eat. First, it says, B'sotcha, the top line on side number one. Buddy, what does it say? Livhemtecha. First, you should feed your animals. And then it says what? Buddy, what's the next word? V'achalta, you shall eat your pastrami sandwich. So the Talmud learns from here that a person is not permitted to eat until he feeds his animals first. It's halacha. Great tzaddikim would buy a pet devorah. Why would great tzaddikim buy a pet? To do this mitzvah. To feed the cat or the fish before you eat lunch. It is Moshe. Great rabbis would buy a pet to do this mitzvah.
Not today.
It's not today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fish.
It's a positive mitzvah. You're not permitted to eat until you first feed your animal. Isn't that amazing, halacha?
For your children?
There's a... What?
Or your children?
That's right. You can't eat until you feed your pet.
Okay. Yeah.
There's a famous story of the Netziv. You know Bar Ilan Street, his father, the great rabbi, the Netziv. They came home from Rosh Hashanah, davening. Rosh Hashanah finished late, right? And they couldn't eat because they have to feed the chickens. So the Rebbetzin misplaced the key to the chicken coop, Moshe. It is. They got a problem here. They can't eat lunch until they feed the chickens. But the Rebbetzin misplaced the key to the chicken coop. So the rabbi wouldn't let the family eat until they found a goy and they told the goy to break the lock on Yontif. And only when the goy broke the lock and they fed the chickens, only then would the rabbi allow the family to make kiddush. Now normally you're not allowed to tell a goy to do malacha for you on Yontif. Amir al-Akum Shvus. You cannot tell a goy to do malacha for you on Yontif. But... or on Shabbos. But to take away Tzar Balachayim, you're allowed to tell a goy to do malacha. You can't do it yourself. But to eliminate Tzar Balachayim, you're allowed to tell a goy to break the lock on Yom Tov or Shabbos to feed the animals. So the Netziv would not allow the family to eat. Isn't that incredible, Moshe? Until they found a goy to break the lock, feed the chickens, and only then could the family make kiddush and eat. Isn't that amazing? So therefore, great rabbis would buy a pet, a fish or a cat or a dog, to do this mitzvah. Now let's analyze the Shema. You have it in front of you. Pasuk Yud Ches, in the text. You see that? V'samtem es devorai eila alavavchem yal nafshichem. You shall place my words on your heart and soul. Remember that song? Heart and soul. Oh, remember that song? Ukshatem ol tovos ayet chalotoves beinenechem. And you shall bind them for a sign on your hand and for ornament between your eyes. Right? Look at Rashi Yudches, Reb Moshe. Look at Rashi Yudches. Amazing Rashi in Pasuk Yudches. Side one. You have that Rashi, Moshe? You want to read that? The something is Devarai, Rashi Yudches. Af acha shetiglu, even after you go into Galut, heyu mitzionim b'mitzvot, continue to distinguish yourselves mitzvos. Hinichu tvilin, vasu mezuzot, put on tvilin and mezuzah in chutz l'aretz. Why? When you come back. Amazing Rashi. That the only reason you're putting on tefillin in Chutz La'aretz is what? They should not be new to you when you come back. Look at Rashi Yudches. You see my finger, Rabbi Yaakov? Yeah, okay. There's something as the Vorai says Rashi on the left side. Even after you go into exile, you leave Israel, have you mitzionim b'mitzvot. Continue to distinguish yourself doing mitzvos. An ichu tvilin. Put on tvilin where? In Borough Park. Vasu mezuzas. And put on a mezuzah. Kidei shelo yilechem chadoshim keshetachzeru. Yiddes Aryeh. So the only reason that you're putting on tvilin outside of Israel, Moshe, is they should not appear new to you when you come back. Amazing Rashi. That the only reason you're doing mitzvahs outside of Israel is what? Practicing. But if you want to do the mitzvah for keeps, you got to come to Israel. How do they learn this Rashi in Borough Park? You think they skip it? You got to fax them to Lakewood. Ruve, you got to fax this Rashi to Lakewood. They know it. Rashi is saying, and it's not a Rashi, Dr. Abramson, it's a Sifri. Rashi is not coming from left field. Rashi is quoting a Sifri that mitzvahs count for real only in Eretz Yisrael. You have to do mitzvahs in Staten Island too, but you're practicing. If you want to do it for real, you got to come to Pisgat Zev, or Rechavia, Maladafna. Malelevena. Amazing Rashi, a Sifri. Go ahead.
Is that literal, though? I mean, they still are obliged.
You have to. You have to practice.
But that's the purpose.
The purpose, read, Devori. Look at that. That's why I made the copy. Kidei shalilachem chadashim. The reason why you're doing mitzvahs outside of Israel, they should not appear to you chadashim keshetachzeru. What are those funny black boxes on your head? Yeah. What is that? You're practicing.
What is the basis of it?
Where it's a Sifri. Rashi is quoting the Sifri, Devorah. Okay? And actually, it's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. If you want to finish the Rashi, you have it in front of you. Kidei shulechem chadoshim ketchatazeru. V'cheinu oimed. There's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu is speaking to the exiles in Bavel. Moshe, you have the Rashi, it's amazing. Hatzivi lecha tziyunim. Continue to distinguish yourself in mitzvot in Babylon. Why, says Yirmiyahu? So when you come back home, you won't look like a freak with those black boxes on top of your head. Those funny things on your door. Go ahead.
Say this, that they say the Rashi never wrote
Tefillin
and
Mezuzah. Ooh.
And
then, Rashi says Tefillin and Mezuzah, Moshe.
It doesn't say that.
I have it in front of me.
The person that wrote it wrote Tefillin and Mezuzah, but he didn't write that.
Look in the Sifri.
You go tough men.
Tefillin. My Rashi says Tefillin and Mezuzah. They say on Wall Street, don't fight the tape.
Okay.
We say, don't fight the text. The text says Tefillin and Mezuzah. I underlined it.
Okay.
The Ramban agrees with Rashi's Girsa, and it's a Sifri. The Sifri says Tefillin and Mezuzah. Some people say, don't confuse me with the facts, Dr. Abramson. Don't confuse me with the facts. My mind's made up. But Rashi's saying, if you want to do mitzvahs for keeps, you want it to count, you have to do it in Eretz Yisrael. Pretty amazing. Yes? Yes, Ruben?
These are positive commandments.
Yeah.
Negative commandments.
You have to do positive commandments in Borough Park, too. You have to, but you have to know you're practicing. And negative commandments, you have to keep in Borough Park, too. But it's practice. But you still have to do it. You still have to do it. But you have to know it doesn't have the full value that it has where? In Eretz Yisrael.
Get the most bang for the buck.
More bang for the buck. More buck for the bang. How does it go?
More bang for the buck.
Now, look at Pasuk Yutes. You see Pasuk Yutes, Moshe? L'mata mosim has b'neichem, Ledaber bum. See Pasuk Yutes? Ledaber bum. You see that? To speak in them. Right? Look at Rashi Yutet. See Rashi Yutet? Ledaber bum. Rashi Yutet. Misho Shaben Yodea Ledaber. As soon as a child begins to speak, what do you teach him? Sesame Street? No. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Right? Mikan Omru. You see that? I have it underlined. Keshatinok Maschil Ledaber. When a child begins to speak. Moshe, what does it say there? Oviv Mesiach Imai Beloshen HaKodesh. His parents should speak to him what? In Hebrew. In Hebrew. Not Yiddish. Says Loshen HaKodesh. Loshen HaKodesh.
Mm-hmm.
So the Sifri, Rashi's quoting the Sifri, that you're obligated to teach your children Loshen Kodesh. And if you do that, look at Rashi Chof Aleph. See Rashi Chof Aleph? Leman Yirbi Yamechem Mei Beneichem. See Rashi Yud Aleph? So that your days will be long, and the days of your children. Im asitem ken, if you do this, if you do what? If you teach your children Hebrew, yirbu, then you will, your days will be long. Vim lav, God forbid. But if you don't teach your children Hebrew, lo yirbu chas v'sholoi. Both. That's both. Pretty amazing. Rashi again quoting the Sifri that teaching your children Hebrew is what? A mitzvah. And it guarantees your children's long life. Because it says, Pasuk Yutet, go back in the text, L'malta Mosam Es B'neichem, by teaching your children, L'man Yirbu Yamechem, your days, V'yimei B'neichem, and the children's days will be long. By teaching them Torah, and teaching them what? Loshen HaKodesh. What does Loshen HaKodesh mean?
Hebrew.
Pretty amazing. Huh? Now, Moshe, you asked me today about resurrection of the dead. Show me where resurrection of the dead is in the Chumash. I'm a text man. Show me in the text. Where's resurrection of the dead in the Chumash? So, huh? No, look at Pasuk Chaf Aleph. In the text, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Look at Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Laman Yubi Mechem Mebenechem Alo Hadama Shnish Bashem Lavatechem Lo Seish Lohem. To give to them. To give to them. Who is them? No, it says Lavatechem Lo Seish Lohem. God swore to give the land to your fathers. Lo Seish Lohem. To give to them. Look at Rashi, please. Look at Rashi Chof Aleph on the bottom. Lo Seish Lohem. What does Rashi say? See the Rashi in the left column? Lo Seish Lohem Eintiv Kan. It should have said to give to you. Lohem. It doesn't say to give to you. It says Lo Seish Lohem. To give to them. But the others have been dead for centuries. What are dead people going to do with real estate? Huh? It should have said, Lotet Lachem, to give you, Pisgat Zev. No, it doesn't say that. The text in Pasuk Chaf Aleph says, Loseis Lachem, to give to them. But the patriarchs have been dead for centuries. What are they going to do with the land? This land is your land. This land is mine. They're dead and buried. So look what Rashi says. Look at the bottom Rashi. Seeing is believing, Moshe. Have it? Loseis Lachem. Lo seis lachem engsiv kan. It doesn't say to give them. Ela lo seis lachem, to give to them. What does Rashi finish? Nimtzinu limedim tchiyat hametim in haTorah. Here you have an open verse that the resurrection of the dead, the rabbis didn't make up the concept, min haTorah. Lo seis lachem. At the end of time, God will resurrect the patriarchs and the matriarchs, and they'll need apartments in Maladafna. So therefore it says, Lo Seish Lohem, Lo Teit is in Atid. God will resurrect the dead, and God will give them, what, Moshe? An apartment in Ramot. You have to move. Pretty amazing, Alfie. It doesn't say Lo Seis Lachem. It says Lo Seis Lachem. From here you learn out Tchiyat HaMeitim in HaTorah. The dead will be resurrected, and they will get their portion of real estate in Pisgat Zev, my neighborhood. I'll have to move. What? Ah, so Yirmiyo Devorah, if you look in Jeremiah, not the bullfrog, the prophet. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. No, this is the prophet Jeremiah. He calls Eretz Yisrael Eretz Tzvi, the land of the deer skin. So the Talmud asks, why did Jeremiah call Israel the land of the deer skin? Says the Talmud, deer skin stretches and stretches and stretches. The more Jews, the more territory. Greater Israel.
We have to take back Sinai.
We have to take back Sinai, Greater Syria, Lebanon, right? We keep on stretching. Eretz Tzvi, the land of the deerskin. The more you stretch a deerskin, the more it what, Moshe? Expands. Okay. So far, so good. Now, take a look at Pasuk Kaf in the text. Pasuk Kaf in the text. You have that? Uchtaftom al mezuzos beisecho bisharecho. You have to write the words of the Shema on the mezuzah. What does mezuzah mean? Mezuzah means a doorpost. Why do we call the mitzvah mezuzah? Isn't that a strange word for a mitzvah? You have to write on the parchment the Shema and put it on the doorpost. So why do you call the mitzvah doorpost, Devorah? Mezuzah means a doorpost. Why do you call the mitzvah mezuzah? Uchsaptam al mezuzah is peisecho, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house. So why call the mitzvah doorpost? Why call the mitzvah doorpost? What's the message? Yesh lanu koach likadesh afilu kir shalabayit. The Jew has the power to sanctify his door. We can infuse kedusha into inanimate object, even something as mundane as a doorpost. We can utilize that and deputize that into avodas Hashem. Here is Moshe. So the mitzvah is called mezuzah, because by putting that parchment, the Shema, on the doorpost, we're sanctifying the Jewish home. We're saying that even a door, you can infuse it with Kiddusha if you follow the mitzvahs of Hashem. So what's the reward for a mezuzah? What's the reward for putting a mezuzah on your door, Rabbi Yaakov? Posik Chof Aleph. L'man yibi yamechem ebenechem al adama. So that your days and the days of your children will be long on the land which God swore to your fathers. Right? So the Talmud in Brachos points out that there are four mitzvahs out of the 613 that God promises longevity. There are 613 mitzvot, right, Moshe? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Four of them the Torah promises arichat yamim. Right? So this is one. Very good, Raz. Who said Shluach HaKen? Shluach HaKen, what's your name?
Sarit.
Sarit. Very good, Shluach HaKen. Sending away the mama bird and what?
Taking the eggs.
Long life. So far we got two. What's the third one? Kibbutz Ve'im. Honoring your parents, you get long life. There's four altogether. One is putting a mezuzah on your door. Imagine putting a mezuzah on your door, you're going to get long life. The second is sending away the mother bird and taking the chicks. The third is what? Kibbutz Ve'im. Everybody knows those three. But there's one more. Any guesses, Dr. Abramson? What's the fourth one? Huh? So we know three. Right? What's the fourth one? The fourth one is found at the end of Parshas Ki Teitze. There the Torah says, at the end of Parshas Ki Teitze, the Torah tells us, honest weights and measures. If you have honest weights and measures, you will live long. So I haven't found the connection, buddy. What does honest weights and measures got to do with honoring your parents? What does honoring your parents got to do with a mezuzah? What does a mezuzah got to do with sending away the mama bird? They have to be connected, because out of the 613 mitzvahs, there's these four the Torah promises long life. The other mitzvahs, the Torah doesn't say what the reward will be. The reward will be in Olam Haba. But for some reason, these four mitzvahs, mezuzah, honoring your parents, sending away the mama bird, and honest weights and measures, the Torah guarantees long life in this world. So I don't see the connecting theme, Alfie, between these four. Obviously, there has to be a theme. Why does the Torah single out these four mitzvot as arichat yomim? Ma nishtana from all the other, Moshe? I don't know. But tzorech iyun, okay? Tzorech iyun. So let's get back to the text. Let's get back to Pasuk Chof Aleph. You have that? Leman, so that yirbu yamechem meibenechem alo adama, your days and the days of your children will be long, increased. Asher nishba Hashem l'avoteichem, on the land which God swore to your fathers, lo seis lahem, to give them, they'll be resurrected and they will get a portion of the land.
Well, how much future, right?
What? Lotate is the future.
Future tense.
So dead people don't need real estate, huh? Remember that movie about Humphrey Bogart? Dead men tell no tales. I'm dating myself. Humphrey Bogart. Dead men tell no tales. Humphrey Bogart. Dead people don't need real estate. Ah! So, mekan tchiyat ha-meisim in ha-Torah. But look at the end of the verse, Dr. Abrams. So you see the end of the verse? Chof Aleph? Ki mei ha-shamayim alo aretz. Like the days of heaven on the earth. What does that mean? Ki mei ha-shamayim alo aretz. Like the days of heaven on the earth. What does that mean? What does Kimei HaShemayim Al Oretz mean? So Poshut, it means that God gave us the land as long as heaven is above earth. Which is another way of saying what?
Forever.
Forever. As long as the heavens exist upon the earth, that's how long our claim is to Pisgat Zev. I live there, so I say Pisgat Zev. What's the name of your Yishuv again? Mala?
Mala
Levona, right?
That's what she said.
Thank you. But I want to give you another interpretation. One down, 69 to go. What does Kimei HaShemayim Al Oretz mean? Like the days of heaven on the earth. The tafkid of a Jew is to bring down heaven on earth. Ah, Esther. What are we doing down here? Our tafkid is bring down heaven on earth. Kimei HaShemayim Al Oretz. To bring God down to the earth. That's a major difference between our religion and all other religions. Other religions, Devorah, you want to be religious, you got to go to a convent, a nunnery, you got to isolate yourself, go up to God, right? Disconnect yourself from what? From society. Judaism is just the opposite. Judaism is to bring God, to bring the heavenly down on earth. To infuse godliness in every aspect of the mundane and the secular. To sanctify the mundane. To elevate the mundane. To infuse kiddusha and godliness into every aspect of the earthly, to infuse the heavenly into the earthly. It's actually a pasuk in the Ten Commandments. Oh. In Parshas Yisro. In Parshas Yisro, it says, it's just amazing. In Parshas Yisro, it says, Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. Did the Jews go up the mountain?
No.
We remain at the foot of the mountain. Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. Judaism is, we are supposed to bring God down to earth. Not to isolate us in a convent somewhere. Or what's it called, an abbey? Abbey Road, whatever. No, that's not Judaism. A monk, a monastery? No. Our tafkid is Vayered Hashem El Har Sinai. Through our deeds, we are supposed to bring God down.
Aren't we supposed to find him first before we bring him down? Aren't we supposed to find him first before we bring him?
Well, of course. Well, of course. Right?
You have to look in the yellow pages.
Look in the yellow pages. No.
There are many yellow pages here.
Kimei Ashema. Hey, yellow pages. See, it's yellow.
Yeah, there you are.
Don't you see? It's yellow.
It's yellow pages.
Yellow. Okay.
It's even more yellow.
Okay. So. Kimei Ashemayim ala oretz. Let me give you another interpretation. Okay? Because it's endless. There's at least 70 interpretations, all true. You shall teach them to your children. Remember that song? Teach your children well. Remember that song? Yes. Teach your children well. Kimei ashamayim ala oretz. So al pi kabbalah, the person teaches his children well, is even when he's in heaven, the children are following the proper path, he gets credit as if it would be ala oretz. It is, buddy. Look at Pasuk Yutes. By teaching your children well in Derech HaTorah is Kimei HaShemayim, even though when you are in heaven already. But your children are following in the footsteps of Torah because you taught them well is ala oretz. It's like the parents are still what? Isn't that incredible? It ain't over till it's over. Who said that? It ain't over till it's over. Kabbalah, Rabbi HaKadosh. By teaching your children is Kimei HaShemayim al Oretz. Even when the parents are no longer on earth, they're in heaven. But if they taught their children and their students well, and the students and the children are following the path of the Torah because they were educated well, then the parents, even Shemayim, are getting dividend checks. As if they would still be what? What? Ala Oretz. Wow. It ain't over till it's over, Moshe.
It's actually the only way that they can in Schar,
because in Shemayim you cannot get any more schar yourself. But if you taught your children well, and they're doing mitzvahs because you trained them, you are still getting dividend checks. Kimei Hashemayim ala oretz.
Yes. To rabbis as well, that they teach their students.
That's right. Students are like children.
Yeah.
Right? Students are like children. That's right. It's amazing Mishnah, Sarit, right? Masechta Bav Metzia. Amazing Mishnah Bav Metzia. Let's say your Rebbe and your parent were kidnapped, chas v'sholom, by bandits. And you only have enough money to ransom Alfie. You got to hear this. Well, Yelenu, your parent and your Rebbe were kidnapped by bandits, pirates. And you only have enough money to ransom one. Who do you ransom first?
The rabbi.
Your rabbi. Why? So the Mishnah says the Bava Metzia, because your parent brought you into the physical world. They gave you physical life. 90, 100 years, if you're lucky. But after that, it's over. But your Rebbe gives you spiritual life. Your Rebbe gives you eternity. What's 90, 100 years compared to what?
Eternity.
Eternity. So you have to ransom your spiritual father, your Rebbe, because he gives you eternity. Your physical parent gives you 90 to 100 years. That's a drop in the bucket compared to what? Eternity. It is, Ephraim. Pretty amazing. So let's hope that we don't have to go through this trial, chas v'sholom. But that's the halacha, mishnah masechta bav metzia, that you have to ransom your Rebbe before your parent, because your Rebbe is your spiritual parent. It's what? It's good to be
a Rebbe.
It's good to be a Rebbe. You see that? It's good to be a Rebbe. You know you'll get ransomed, right? Mm-hmm. Pretty amazing.
Your Rebbe's going to ransom your parents.
Why? You ransom, yeah?
Or Rabbanit.
Or Rabbanit. Why?
You get credit for
getting credit for you having done this with the Rebbe.
Oh, because they taught you well.
Yes, so they're still, right? Still benefiting by this horrible choice you have to make.
Uh-huh. By this horrible choice. We shouldn't have to go through this, right? Terrible, right? Now, if you look at Pasuk Yud Zayin in the Shema, in the text, V'chor af Hashem b'chem, if we don't do the right thing, actually starts in Pasuk Tez Zayin. You see Pasuk Tez Zayin? Rabbi Yaakov, my watch stopped. Tell me what time it is.
Yeah, quarter
to three. Quarter to three. Good, okay. Look at Pasuk Tez Zayin. We say it twice a day. Let's know what we're saying. Pasuk Tez Zayin. Hisham l'chem. What is the Torah saying in Pasuk Tez Zayin on top? Be very careful. Pen. What is the English word perhaps? Pen yifte levavchem. Perhaps your hearts will be seduced. V'sartem, and you will turn away. V'varatem limacherim. You will worship strange gods. What strange gods?
Idols.
Human, there are no idols today. Humanism, secularism, liberalism, materialism, Michael. Deformed-erism. Right? There are many isms out there. Deformed-ism, unfortunately. Right? Deformed. Nebuch. Huh? So what's going to happen then, God forbid? Pasuk Yud Zayin, the chara. What does the chara mean? The chara af Hashem b'chem. God will become angry. V'otzer at Hashemayim. And he will what? Hold back the heavens, v'lo'iyah matar, and there won't be any rain. V'hadama lo titen et yivula, and the earth will not yield its produce. V'alata mehera, and you will be lost quickly. See the English word hurry. Dr. Abrams is amazing. See the English word hurry, mehera? Look at the word hurry. I'm telling you, English comes from Hebrew. How do you say?
Maher.
Maher, hurry. Mehera, that's the word, hurry. Mehera, you will be hurried, be lost. Me'al oretz ha'tova, from the good land, Ashen Hashem noisen lechem, which God gives you. It doesn't say notan. Who knows Hebrew here? It should have said Asher Hashem notan. It doesn't say notan. It says what? Notain. Beautiful. So Rashi says, an amazing Rashi, that Eretz Yisrael is the gift that keeps on giving. Every day you wake up in Pisgat Zev, or in where? Kiryat Moshe? Yeah. You're getting the land again. This land is your land. Amazing pasuk. Notain, Rashi points out, not here, but in Parshas Bo, it says the same thing, Notain. In Parshas Bo, Rashi says the same thing, that don't think that Eretz Yisrael is only a Rusha from the Ovot. We are getting the gift of Israel day by day. So it says notain, not natan. But we have to appreciate it. The precious gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, Rashi in Parshas Bo, says it pretty amazing. Rashi says, Tiyeh be'enecha. You don't have it on your, but it's in the end of Parshas Bo, Exodus 13. Rashi says that Eretz Yisrael tehi be'enecha ki'ilu natalacho bo bayom. It should be in your eyes as Israel is given into you bo bayom. What does that mean? Day by day. Valti be'enecho kirushat avot. It shouldn't appear in your eyes as a Yerusha from your parents. Even though it is. But it's the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us every single day. We have to appreciate it. The same thing with the Torah. It says by Eretz Yisrael, notain, not notan. Notain means what? The present. And what bracha do you make when you go up to the Torah? Baruch HaTu Hashem, notain HaTorah. Not notan, even though God gave it 3,324 years ago. No. He began then. Notain HaTorah, like notain Eretz Yisrael, Israel and Eretz Yisrael and Torah are the gifts that keep on giving. You have to appreciate it. Every time you open up a Chumash or a Gemara, you're getting the Torah again. Every time you wake up in Eretz Yisrael, you have to appreciate Hashem is giving you the gift. Nachamu. How do you say Nachamu?
Otam.
And therefore it says, Notain and not Natan. By Torah and by Eretz Yisrael. And the word Mayrasha is only used twice in the Chumash. Torah Tziva Lanu Mayrasha. And Marasha is used by the Torah. And the word Marasha is used by Eretz Yisrael. Only twice in the Chumash does the word, it says, V'natati ota lachem moirasha. V'veiti eschem el aretz, V'natati ota lachem moirasha. Maze moirasha, that word is used only by Eretz Yisrael, and only by what? By Torah. Alfie, what's the difference between moirasha and Yerusha? Yerusha means an inheritance. Marasha means an heirloom. Heirloom. Heritage is a major difference. A Yerusha means I get a Yerusha. I can do what I want with it. I can go to Las Vegas and blow it. Yerusha. Marasha is a heirloom. Which means it must remain in the family exactly the way I received it from my parents. I have to hand it over to my children. So, amazing, only twice in the entire Torah is the word Mayrasha used. Heirloom. By Israel and by Torah. That means it's not a Yerusha. It's a Mayrasha. You cannot tamper with it. You can't change it. You have to hand it to your children exactly in the same manner you received it from what? Your parents. So what kind of deals with Abu Mamzer, right? It's not ours to give away. It's on Marasha. And the same thing with the Torah. How dare Reform rabbis tamper with it? It's not ours to tamper. It's a Marasha. It's not a Yerusha. A Yerusha, you can do what you want with it, buddy. But a Marasha must remain intact, and therefore, it's a legacy. I think the word Marasha,
legacy,
better than heirloom, no?
Yeah, that's
legacy.
Heirloom is good.
No, heirloom is good, too? Thank you.
Yeah,
a family heirloom. Right?
It's very precious.
Precious. But it cannot be tampered with, unlike a Yerusha, which can be spent. Which can be spent.
Who says that it can't be tampered with?
Wait a minute, the Torah says. Because that's a Marasha. Ask anyone the difference between a legacy and an inheritance.
Sell heirlooms that they get?
Only if they're desperate. If what?
Okay.
You have to be pretty low to sell a family heirloom. No? How low can you go? But if you turn the sheet over on the other side, how low can you go? You turn the sheet over on the other side, a ledaber bum, to speak the words of Torah. See the yellow? Ledaber bum. This is a sifri. No, it's in Hebrew. Ledaber bum. You have it? Mikan omru, shatinok maschi ledaber. When a child begins to talk, Oviv midabi imoy beloshen hakodesh. His parents have to speak with him in what? Not Yiddish. Says loshen hakodesh. Umalamdei Torah. Umalamdei Torah. Doesn't say in English. It says in Hebrew. Vim eino midabi mebeloshen hakodesh. And if he doesn't speak with him in Hebrew, veino malamdei Torah. I don't want to read the next words. I don't want to read the next words. Sarit, you want to read it?
No.
I'm afraid to read it.
I taught my children Hebrew in America, and there's no way I will chas v'shalom.
Chas v'shalom. No, you taught them Hebrew. But if you don't teach them Hebrew, it's lo yaleinu. I don't want to read the next words. Ve'enu malam de Torah, roi lo yikilu kavroi. Chas v'shalom. Shenema, lamadam oysan v'neichem ledaber bom. You shall teach your children Hebrew. Laman yirbu yameichem ebeneichem. If you teach them Hebrew and Torah, you will cause their days to be what? Increased. Meklal hen ato shemei alav, chas v'sholom. The klal hen, from the positive, you can learn chas v'sholom the negative. So look how important it is, the Sifri, how important it is to speak, teach your kids Hebrew.
So why so many Jews in America don't teach them?
I don't know. Because they didn't come to this class, that's why. They didn't come to this class. That's my job, that's why I'm here today. And thanks to Rabbi Yaakov Goldman, we're on the internet. Right? Is it live or is it Memorex? RabbiSprecher.com. RabbiSprecher.com. Right.
Of speaking Hebrew.
That's right. That's right. You got to get the word out there, Dr. Abramson. People just don't know. We got to publicize it.
You got to get on Nachum Siegel's show.
Nachum Siegel, no? Bakasha.
I get
protect
you on there. You want on?
Yeah.
I get you on.
Thank you.
What if they don't
when do you want on?
Maybe we can we connect.
No, the question
you can connect him with...
Five minutes.
Oh, 2 minute warning.
In biblical
warning.
In biblical times, did they speak the same Hebrew as today?
The same Hebrew. Read the text.
Modern Hebrew.
What do you talk about? Read the text.
It's for Lashon HaKodesh.
So?
But that's not modern.
But Hebrew today comes from Lashon HaKodesh.
Yeah, but how did they speak them?
The font was different. The letters were written differently.
So now Devorah opened up a Pandora's box. Who has Pandora anyway?
For 2 minutes?
That was Greek mythology.
Mizeh Pandora. Anna, Mizeh Pandora. Pandora's box. The question is, if Hebrew is a mitzvah to speak, how come the Talmud Bavli is written where?
Aramaic.
In Aramaic. So stay tuned. I'll leave you with a cliffhanger. You have to come back next Sunday. Used to be called a cliffhanger. I think it's called
stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
To be continued.
Could be continued next Sunday to answer Blinei the Devorah's great question. Why was the Talmud Bavli written in Aramaic and the rabbi spoke Aramaic? What about Hebrew? It's a mitzvah to speak Hebrew. Ledaber bam. It's a mitzvah. The Rambam said it's a mitzvah to speak Hebrew. Lillian, good question. She asked a great question, but I'm out of time. We're just out of time. Stay tuned next Sunday. Thank you very much.